excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckert, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are underway. Happy Monday. It is Monday, May 26th, and we're underway on Flames Talk with Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line's open at 960-960. Would love to hear from you as we get this hour underway. Hello, Logo.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, we're just over a month away from the opening of NHL free agency.
Ooh.
And from a Flames Talk standpoint, Flames Talk with you this week and then half of the following week and then hiatus for a couple of weeks. We'll be back for draft week and then leading into free agency. So now just over a month away from July 1 and the opening of free agency 2025, Flames will have a ton of cap space to play with, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be busy in free agency. And that's what we're going to spend the first half of the hour talking about. Text line, as I mentioned, open at 960-960. Would be curious as to your thoughts as well in terms of what you think the Flames should be doing or shouldn't be doing in free agency. And you know what, Logo? My belief is that we're going to see a generally very quiet Flames team in free agency, especially when it comes to notable additions to the NHL roster, like some of the American League depth signings. I think that we'll see a few of those, but I just don't think that we're going to see a large quantity of additions made in free agency this year. In fact, my belief is they'll be quite quiet unless they can land one of their big targets. But, you know, one thing I don't think we're going to see a lot of is kind of those smaller, lower impact NHL signings. We saw four of them last summer, right? It was Anthony Mantha, Ryan Lomberg, Jake Bean, Devin Cooley, Devin Cooley all signed in free agency on July 1 last year. And I don't think we're seeing the same number this year. They decided that they wanted to just add a little bit of short-term, low-risk depth to the roster in the immediacy because they weren't sure where their young players were going to be. Well, this year, I really think they want to keep spots open for young players in a more direct way, in a more deliberate way. And so signings like Mantha and Bean, even Tyson Berry, who they signed after a PTO, I don't think we'll see those in large numbers, because instead I think we're talking about a team that wants to see Kuznetsov or Brustevich, obviously Parekh and Sam Morton, Idar Suniev, and who knows, other forward names that we could be talking about. I think they want to see those guys have an even more wide open door to make the team so that they don't need to have a season-ending injury to Anthony Mantha open the door for Matt Coronato to be on the team. I think we're talking about generally, unless they're going to land one of their big fishes, which we'll talk about, I think we're talking about a generally pretty quiet July 1. I'll be surprised if they're a busier group in free agency this summer.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you are on this, and part of my reasoning for thinking that's going to be the approach for the Calgary Flames is just more so looking at the crop of free agents. I just don't see many fits for what this team wants to do and where they're going, correlating with a lot of the free agents that are potentially going to be out there when we get to July 1st. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of natural connections for both sides to make something work. So you're always tempted. You're going to see stupid money thrown around on July 1st like we always do. We'll do a show, and I'm sure we'll sit here and talk about, you know, X amount of dollars that got spent over the afternoon, and we'll see what it means. But I can't see the Calgary Flames being one of those teams that we're talking about reshaping their roster based on what's going to happen in free agency.
So a few clips from last month and locker cleanout day, which was now more than a month ago. This was general manager Craig Conroy when he was asked about free agency and how busy he may or may not be when it comes to signing players on July 1st.
I don't think our list would be very long, but if there's a person that's a game changer that we feel we have an opportunity to get, we're definitely going to take a shot at him. Does that mean we're going to get him? I don't know. You know, that's when you get to UFA, you're like with everybody else, you're battling and you're not sure how it's going to work out. But I think with what we're building here and just when you talk to the players, they're our best salesmen. You know, if they're enjoying it here, they like it here. They know a new building's coming. You know, obviously we didn't make the playoffs, but 96 points, close, you know. Is there someone that could push us over that edge? We're gonna look to see if we can find that person and add them next year. But right. If we don't, we probably won't. I would say we would not do a lot.
So that was Craig Conroy when he spoke to the media at large and then came and sat down with you and I in the Hot Stove Lounge right afterwards and expanded on that a little bit.
We're going to continue to get younger, continue get young players in. You know, I don't think you can 10 young guys in at once, but I think we've been sprinkling guys in and they've been doing really well as they come in and they're getting better. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that. And if we can make a trade or we can do something to make this team better, we're going to try. If it's free agent, the right free agent, we'll pay. We're not going to pay for I guess if we did a list of 1 to 10, we're not going to take 10 because he's on our list.
Right.
We want the right guy that fits what we're trying to do.
And I feel like those are really important things to hear from the GM when you add it to the conversation that we're having. Because, you know, it's my belief in those that I've talked to that, yeah, we're talking about a Flames team that is they're going to have like two or three targets of which they may get zero and maybe get one, but we're not going to be talking about them. And that thing that he just said there, Logo, about, yeah, if we rank our free agents 1 to 10, we're not going to just sign 10 just because he's there. I don't think we're talking about a group that's casting a wide net. I think they are far more interested and far more committed to more internal growth than making the type of external ads they did last summer. And I get why they did last summer, Logo. I get why they signed Bean. I get why they signed Mantha. I get why they went out. I mean, Lomberg's a little bit of a different story. But I get why they made those decisions because they didn't know what Coronado was going to be. You know, Matt Coronado had an up-and-down rookie professional season, right? They didn't know whether or not he was going to be ready to break out. And they didn't know if one of their young defensemen was going to be ready. So they signed a couple of guys to give those guys a little bit more time. Tyson Barry is another example, right? Well, Matt Coronado's ready. Pretty clearly with the contract he just signed. And so that now it's like, okay, well, we bought some time for some of these younger players. Let's see what they can do at this year's training camp. And it was another year in the AHL for Soloviev and Kuznetsov. And now you've got Brustevich, who had his first full year in the American League. I think the organization feels like their younger players are closer to ascending to the NHL roster now than they were about a year ago. And thus, signing guys to 1 or 2 year deals, signing 2 or 3 27, 28-year-olds, that now makes it a little bit more difficult for guys to actually win those spots. And so that's why I think you're going to see a whole lot less of those types of moves this summer.
Well, and let's be clear here, too. Just because you have cap space does not mean you need to use it.
Right?
Be selective. Be picky with who you bring into the organization. Now, did any of those guys that we've talked about, Barry, Mantha, Bean, Lomberg, I'd honestly tell you, outside of Lomberg, there wasn't a huge impact maker, but they were all low risk, potentially mid to high reward type. You know what I mean? Like, if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. It wasn't the end of the world. They didn't commit long term money. And if a guy like Mantha found his way onto the IR for the rest of the year, well, then it opened up a spot for Matt Coronado and a young player. So it all kind of worked out when it was all said and done anyways. Just because you have the money doesn't mean that you need to throw it out on free agency day and spend it just for the sake of spending it. Spend it on the right guys. There's always a reason, Pat, that guys are free agents. There's a reason that guys get to free agency. And yes, every now and then, it's not to say that they're not useful pieces, that they're not impact players, because some of them are. But if they were that impactful, if they were that important, there wasn't some sort of caveat or asterisk, something more to the story, they wouldn't be free agents. They just simply wouldn't be. It doesn't happen all that often that these guys just have a clear record and they're just hitting free agency to look for a new home. You can really do damage spending your money incorrectly in free agency. And it's nice to hear. It was nice to hear Craig Connor going back to there that they are going to be sort of very specific about where they spend that money.
And very guarded with how they approach those types of deals. And look, I think having big targets is good. I think having very, very focused targets is good. And being okay with, okay, we've got three guys that we really want, and if we don't get any of them, then we don't get any of them, and we move on. And I do think, you know, if we want to get to the actual targets they might have, yeah, I think Conroy will put an offer on the table to Mitch Marner and his agent. I don't think Mitch Marner is going to sign here. If he did, that'd be pretty interesting. Boy, that would be a hell of a story if Mitch Marner's a Flame on July 1st.
We'd have something to talk about, wouldn't we?
And I think if you're any team in this league, you would be silly not to at the very least put something on the table for Marner that makes sense for your team. But there are other teams that are going to be able to put attractive deals on the table and maybe be able to entice a guy like Mitch a little bit more. And that doesn't mean that the Flames would have failed if Marner doesn't sign here, but I think that you got to do your due diligence with the best player on the market. As we've talked about many times, I firmly believe that if Sam Bennett makes it to unrestricted free agency, then the Flames will put a solid offer on the table. But again, with Florida looking to retain his services and with Toronto probably going to put a pretty big dollar figure on the table for Bennett and other teams who will be quite interested in him, especially team. You telling me that if Carolina goes out in the Eastern Conference Final again, they're not going to try to go and get a guy like Bennett? Or Vegas isn't going to go and try to find a way to get Bennett?
What about Dallas?
If Dallas can't get out of the Western Conference Final, you're telling me that they... So I think the Flames will make a significant pitch for Bennett. I think they'll make a significant pitch for Marner. I wonder a little bit about Ekblad, especially with Rasmus Anderson's future kind of being up in the air.
And that relationship with Mackenzie Weegar has been pretty well documented.
Yeah. And again, I wonder if they put if he makes it there.
Yeah.
I wonder if a big offer gets put on the table. But that's kind of the limit. Like, I'm sure that there's one or two others they'd have on their targets list, but they're all going to be of the high impact variety, and thus their chances of landing one, let alone multiple of those, probably not super high based on where the organization is, some of the other spots that would be open, so on and so forth. So I think the Flames will put some significant offers on the table and see what happens, but I'm not anticipating Mitch Marner to be a Calgary Flame, as cool as that would be. You know, I think Bennett's a little bit more of an attainable one. But again, there's going to be a lot of competition for a guy like him in free agency.
And there's no harm in aiming high.
And what I was really encouraged to hear, especially listening back to the second clip we played from Conroy, is that, okay, if plan A doesn't end up signing here,
doesn't mean that plan B,
he's
gets
not going to go scramble and get plan B, yeah. Right?
Okay, we missed Marner, so we have to go give Bennett 12. That's hyperbole in every sense of the word, but that's not what's going to happen. It's not, we missed out on Bennett. Well, who else is on our list? Ekblad. Okay, now Ekblad gets all of the money. It's not, and I like that Craig Conroy is essentially telling us that they're going to have high standards for spending the money. You should. Teams that are loose with their money on July 1st generally don't spend it wisely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if your targets are the top of the list, and you miss out some years, but other years you might hit on a couple of them, then that's perfectly fine with me. Better to aim high than to say, oh, well, Pat, Mitch Marner's not coming here.
Let's Sam go Bennett's get Giroux. We got to go sign Giroux.
Exactly. 100%. That's it. And if you don't hit on the high one, I'm not settling for anything less.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly okay way to approach free agency.
And I think that's exactly how the Flames are approaching free agency, is that they'll have their targets, but they're not going to be they're not going to be so tied to landing somebody that they'll settle for plan B.
Center, so we got to go out and get somebody. No, you don't have to.
Yep. That's a really important way of going about your business, I think.
I would agree.
You take a look at the free agent list. Like, how many of these guys even fit exactly what the Flames are looking for? I mean, Marner's a right shot winger, so they could definitely use that. We know how few right shots they have at forward. I don't think Besser is signing here. Another right shot winger. They were to be able to, but I mean, sounds like Minnesota and a few other spots are pretty heavy.
Yeah, I mean,
on
if he doesn't go to Minnesota after they get all that money back off of the Suter Parise buyouts, I'd be pretty surprised.
Roslovic's a right shot guy.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Text line 960-960. This reads: Troy Brower, James Neal, enough is enough.
Yeah, man, just because you need to make a. If you feel like you need to make a splash, then try. But if it doesn't happen, God forbid, you're patient. Those are disasters here. James Neal was a disaster.
Yeah. They had to pivot and turn that into Lucic, remember?
Yeah, I do.
And Brower was a buyout.
Yeah. Not all money is smart money.
Exactly. And what I really like is that there's no pressure from above for Conroy to spend all his cap space. Conroy's got, I know this for a fact, Conroy's got the green light whenever he wants to take it to spend to the upper limit. But he's not, it's not like he's got this push saying, spend to the upper limit, go out and get guys. He's still able to, he's got the keys and is still able to execute his plan. And I think that is really important. This says from Ryan, I'd just like to see them sign a fourth line right shot center. And maybe that is something they look for, although, you know, if they decide to bring back Justin Kirkland.
Trevor Lewis is out there, man. No?
Probably not.
Okay, no. You said Claude Giroux. He's a right shot center.
Yeah, I don't think Claude Giroux really makes a ton of sense.
Curtis Lazar.
I'd rather them go with Kirkland or Morton, even though they're not right-shot center.
I certainly would, too.
And I get it. Like, you want a right-shot center. You absolutely do.
Those are some of the joking names we sent out there. Like, yeah. Are those the guys you want? Maybe not.
Yeah. Shoop says, 2 Troy Brower name drops in 2 episodes. Unbelievable stuff. Fair point. We did talk about
I
about
love Brower Troy. I see him at the Saddle Dome all the time. He's a really nice guy. Just didn't work out.
Did not work out here. This says it's easy to critique deals after the fact. Yes, it is. But I know for a fact I was very much not in love with Neal and that signing at the time. The Brower one, I was a little less, like, I didn't despise the Brower signing when it happened. Obviously, it turned out to not be all that great. But at the time,
it was also really weird.
Yeah, it was all very strange. It was all very strange. That was Glenn Gulletson. The 2 years, it never really seemed to.
I wanted to be like a top 6 guy, but that's never what he was. And we were all excited for playoff Troy Brower, and then it was like, oh yeah, you got to make the playoffs first. And it never fit like you hoped it would.
They were playing him with Bennett, and
it was the Brower play. People still talk about the Brower play everywhere when you talk about it. And you're like, yeah, that's really Troy Brower's game. Why were we doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This says, we knew Neil was going to be a disaster when we had that early snowstorm. I will always remember that. That year, for whatever reason, we had like a massive 10-inch dump of snow in September.
Didn't it take out a bunch of tree branches and everything?
Oh, yeah. It was
craziness.
This says, just listening to you guys about all the prospects and curious as to why Bennett would ever want to come back to Calgary with how the Flames mismanaged him. I can tell you that I think that millions and millions of dollars can really help water go under the bridge.
Yeah, and I also think it's a different,
different regime.
Yeah, that different was coach.
Different coach, different general manager. I honestly don't think that's a reason to worry about Bennett signing or not signing here. Bennett will decide to sign based on dollar figures and chances to win another Stanley Cup.
And also, would it be that bad if a top free agent chose Calgary? Seeing as how every single time we talk about this, someone goes, they're never going to want to play in Canada. No one's ever coming to Calgary. It'd be the worst thing ever for a guy that was drafted here to say, yeah, I actually enjoyed my time in Calgary, and I've earned a significant raise. I'll go back. Not the worst thing in the world either.
Tyler says, man, if they got all three of Marner, Bennett, and Ekblad, rebuild over. Let's go. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
The cap space would also be over.
Yeah, they would all of a sudden go from having all kinds of cap flexibility to none. Roger in Edmonton wondering about Marco Rossi. Now, Rossi's not UFA. He's RFA in Minnesota. And I think, like, I actually quite like the idea of Rossi as a potential target. And I don't, it doesn't sound like Minnesota is going to be able to retain him just based on some of the things they've got to figure out. And I think Marco Rossi's turned into a pretty good player. Former first-round pick, you know, had the COVID. Remember, he got rocked by COVID, and it messed with a good, I want to say, about year and a half of his development. But he's been much, much better now, and he was a 60-point guy this year as a left-shot center, which, again, centers are important. It would be nice if they could have a right shot, but as Connie told us when they acquired Morgan Frost, he's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, right shot, but then there's what's out there and what you want. And that's kind of not a lot of right shot centers that are just attainable right now.
No, the more specific you get about an ask for a player, Pat, the more difficult it becomes. Like, hey, we want a top end center. Okay, now we want a top end center that shoots right. Okay, well, those are even less available than just a top line center, period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes you kind of have to get what you get.
Steve says they should kick tires on Marner, but other than that, keep quiet. Guys like Wolf, Zeri, even Parekh are going to need contracts in the near future. And the whole idea of cap flexibility and retaining that flexibility is important. This says go ahead, sign Bennett again. Watch him turn into another Huberdeau. Hayes in Discovery Ridge wonders about J.J. Paterka in Buffalo. Again, that's not a UFA guy. That'd be a little bit of a different type of acquisition if you're going to go and get Paterka in Buffalo. And again, I think Paterka is a really interesting player as a restricted free agent, but not a, like, these are offer sheets or trade conversations. Somebody suggests offer sheeting Maverick Bork in Dallas. Jerry in Calgary says, you haven't mentioned the $10.5 million guy. Chemistry seems to be forgotten. Keep drafting and developing. And obviously referring to Huberdeau.
Didn't he play pretty well with Bennett?
Yes, he did. Quite good with Bennett.
Chemistry.
In fact, Sam has been on record saying that Huberdeau was a big reason that he got back on track.
Yeah, chemistry.
This says, Lazar for a milli here isn't a brutal option. He's basically the next Derek Ryan. Like, I wouldn't dislike that. I mean, first of all, Curtis Lazar is the nicest human on the planet. Not just nicest hockey player, nicest man. But.
Yeah, I was only like half kidding with that. But yeah, again, it's at the point of, we just talked about Anthony Mantha and how it kind of took him getting injured to get Coronado into the lineup. And everybody and their grandma was mad at Kevin Rooney taking a spot on the fourth line last year instead of Sam Morton.
Livid at that.
Like, at some point, unless Sam Morton has a terrible, terrible, awful camp, I'd just be okay with maybe for a fourth line spot letting a youngster get some of that time.
Or re-sign Kirkland.
Yeah.
who we know exactly what he is, and we know how he can help the group. Finally, Zach says, go off for Sheet and Eyes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, though,
I'm not giving up my 2026
I'm not giving up my 2026 first-round pick, and
I also think the Leafs would match almost anything on that guy.
And the problem is, you're not going to get Nyes for anything where you don't have to give up a first-round pick.
And I know everyone keeps saying that, and I'm not picking on Zach for saying the offer sheet Nyes thing, but everyone forgets Marner's money is coming straight off the books. They're going to have the money to match if somebody goes after Nyes.
Yeah. Well, they'll have, and
Tavares is going way down either way. So they're going to have like,
and look,
$15 million on the books to spend. They're going to match.
I've talked to enough people who are pretty tied in on the Nyes situation. He wants to stay in Toronto. So I don't, like, you're going to have to knock his socks off.
You got to convince him to sign
somewhere. He wants to stay. Like, you can offer sheet somebody. Craig Conroy could have, I know he didn't, but for all we know, Craig Conroy could have put 20 offer sheets on the table last summer, but unless the player decides to sign it, it doesn't matter. So, and on the Nyes front, he wants to stay in Toronto.
And if you want to stay, you generally don't sign those offer sheets because you're probably, even if you stay, you're probably hurting the team you're staying with.
Yeah. And to convince him to go, like, you're going to have to get him into double digits, and then you're giving up two first-round picks. And to avoid giving up a first-round pick on an offer sheet for this year, you have to be under $4.6 million. I don't think Matthew Nyes is signing in Calgary under $4.6 million. And when we went into Friday, when we talked about our untouchables, at least for me, that 2026 first-round pick is untouchable, because I don't want to give up a potential lottery shot at Gavin McKenna, because we don't know if the Flames will take a step next year. We don't know if the Flames will be a playoff team next year. And if they're not a playoff team and they don't have their first round pick and that costs them a shot at the McKenna lottery, I think that's mismanagement when it comes to where this team is going.
And yes, you have to use your own first round pick.
You can't use Vegas's. Exactly. Okay, Steinberg and Logo along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Monday afternoon.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Western Conference Final is now firmly in Edmonton's control, at least the way the games have gone. It's a 2-1 series lead now for the Oilers after Sunday afternoon and their rout of the Stars. So after the third period meltdown in Game 1, two back-to-back really impressive outings for the Oilers, and now a 2-1 series lead heading into Tuesday's Game 4 at Rogers Place in Edmonton. Steinberg, Logan Gordon along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. It's time to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and say hello to our buddy Tom Gazzola. Tommy joining us from Edmonton Sports Talk right now. Hello, Tommy G.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. How lonely is it as downtown Edmonton's only inhabitant?
Well, as I gaze out my ninth floor window in beautiful downtown, I don't see a soul or a pigeon, but we do have a thunderstorm happening right here. Okay. So I'm assuming you guys sent this crappy weather up here as a thank you.
Yes, it's to thank you for the Oilers being two wins away from getting back to the Stanley Cup Final. all joking aside, good sir, it's good to have you on. It's always good to chat with you, my friend. How do we like Edmonton's response after that nightmare third period in Game 1?
Yeah, very good response. I mean, the last two games, composed, very workmanlike, very they're sharp, Patty. They have all the answers, it feels like. Whenever Dallas has tried to throw something at them, Edmonton and Chris Knobloch has responded the right way, and it's resulted in a couple of wins. It is impressive. And, you know, we're talking on EST today, Dusty and I were like, damn, like, what is going on? We're in a bizarro world, because usually it's the Oilers chasing the right way to play the game. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were talking about how they couldn't figure it out against Colorado, and Colorado had an answer for everything that Jay Woodcroft tried against them in the conference final. And then the next year they lose in the second round, and Vegas stymied them, and the Oilers didn't have an answer. And then last year, obviously getting to the Cup final and almost making it happen with the 3-0 series lead going Florida's way and then pushing game seven. Like there were a lot of lessons, but there's no more lessons to be learned. And here we are watching them actually, it seems like, put the lessons into good use. So it is impressive. We'll see if it continues. I think there's a lot of fight left in the Dallas Stars, though.
Yeah. The Stuart Skinner story, like how, if you were asked right now to like write a biography on this year's postseason only, like how would you go about penning the Stuart Skinner 2025 postseason story?
Yeah, dude, it's Jekyll and Hyde with a goalie mask. Like that's what the front cover would be. Seriously, yesterday he bucked that trend. He picked up his fourth win. It was his first win of the postseason. That wasn't a shutout. We had people here that were just arguing and complaining about how he only got shutouts or got torched for five or six. And then finally he only lets in one yesterday. He had a good night. He had a really good night. And it's good to see him trying to, well, A, try to dial it in, then B, get the results after working at it, because he looked bad to start the playoffs against LA. He lost his job. Calvin Pickard went in, won six in a row. He didn't do it in like a perfect manner, but he got hurt. And then it was Stu's chance to get a little bit of redemption. He wasn't looking great against the Golden Knights to start. And then he started cleaning it up. So it's just been all over the map. And a part of it too is the team in front of him not giving him all the support that he needs at times. But now that the Oilers as a five-man unit defensively have cleaned things up, and Stu has made key saves at the right times, and that's also a sign of maturation. So yesterday may be an indicator that his game is rounding into form. His confidence certainly looks like it's coming around too. That's important, and he's kind of in lockstep with the rest of the group. So Patty, like, you're letting in five or six a night, or you're getting a shutout. Like, that's crazy. And that's the story of Stu Skinner in the 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs.
What's the latest on Cal Pickard?
He skated today, or he practiced today, I should say. And, looks like he's aiming to back up tomorrow night, which is good. So, you know, say things go sideways for Stu. You got Calvin sitting there, and he's coming off a six-game heater and a bit of time in between where he had a lower body injury. So, yeah, he looks like he's good to go. Connor Brown will be out tomorrow, too. I'll pass that along your way.
And where are things on Ekholm?
He's another guy that has been skating and looking better and better, but he's been skating under the watchful eye of, A, the athletic team, the athletic therapist, and then even the doc. The doctors have been, you know, on the bench watching him. So he wants to go. I think when he gets the all clear from the doctors, they'll inject him into the lineup. But the other thing is, they were joking down at the rink today with Troy Stetcher. It's like the guy's playing great. They're calling him the nurse whisperer, and you're going to have to take him out because you're going to put Mattias Ekholm in there. It's kind of insane. So there's a lot of good scenarios that are coming up with guys getting healthy, and with Brown being out, you know, there's an option to go 11-7, and maybe you can ease Ekholm back into the lineup. So we'll see what Chris Knobloch decides to do tomorrow, but some moving pieces and parts that could change by the time we get to game time tomorrow too.
We're chatting with Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, getting ready for game four of the Western Conference Final Tuesday night at Rogers Place in Edmonton. Oilers lead the series 2-1. It's Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Logo.
Tom, just before we got on the air, Pat was saying that you're his second favorite Gazzola. I don't know why he keeps bringing that up every single time, but it didn't seem very nice.
Wow.
Have you met Mike?
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I forgot I even had another brother that lived in Calgary until that comment. Wow.
And let me tell you about Paul as well.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Paulie for a second there. Oh, yeah, Mike, that guy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I love Mike. He's my brother. I look forward to seeing him in a couple weeks
Get him in trouble with his mom again.
Oh, he can't get into trouble. You know who gets into trouble, you guys? Me.
Yes, you do.
The other two are angels. Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that in there. I wanted to jump off of what Pat was talking to you about with Mattias Ekholm. Honestly, beginning of the playoffs, I was worried about it. I'm sure everyone in Edmonton was worried about how this team was going to defend without that guy. How have they done that so well without Ekholm in the lineup?
Yeah, that's a good question, Logan, because the defense was a huge question mark going into the season. It had bad moments throughout the year. It did rise to the occasion for parts of the season, and then it would falter. Evan Bouchard was a lightning rod of controversy, and then they get to the playoffs, and the Kings are torching them again. Like we were saying, it's either, you know, the defense in front of Stu Skinner wasn't great, and then Stu himself wasn't making the save when they needed one. But now, you know, the success with the Oilers on the back end, I think it's just efficiency with the puck so that they're not getting themselves into trouble. They're getting support from their wingers. Pucks do get out. Now, obviously, they're not perfect, but they've been pretty sharp with their outlet passes. There's a steadiness and like a calmness to the entire group back there. John Klingberg has helped, which has been a pleasant surprise. Evan Bouchard's game has rounded into form since midway through the Kings series. He's looking like the guy that had very strong finishes to the last 3 years. That has helped. And the offense has obviously been there all season for Bouchard. And Darnell Nurse has become better. He's keeping it between the dots. Doesn't get caught running around. Brett Kulak's been a steady hand all year long. Like they just, it's like they click into this mindset where they just sharpen up in the playoffs. And it took a few games, I'll reiterate, they're not perfect, but I'll say a lot of the credit goes to how well they move the puck, so they're not getting hemmed in for long periods of time. And then generally when they do defend, they're pretty efficient, smart, and they're getting support from the forwards. So, and then, you know, they do get a save here and there when things do break down. So that to me has been the key. And I point to the quick, sharp, smart puck movement. The efficiency there has gone a long way for this group.
Probably important not to gloss over the fact that Connor Brown is out, because I know last year wasn't ideal when he came to Edmonton. The 12 points in 71 games had a lot of people wondering, but he's seen more ice time this year, Tom. He's had a pretty good playoff so far. I believe he scored 5 times now already. Like, that's not an insignificant loss for this Oilers team.
No, it is noteworthy. I mean, 8 points as well. Key moments where he's picking up points. Very consistent. He's one of those guys, very responsible in his own zone, plays with dogged determination, hustles on the forecheck. His puck touches are usually really good. He's on the right side of things. And he got popped last night by Alex Petrovic. And
yeah.
So, I mean, you can assume what the injury is, but the fact that he's being ruled out already for tomorrow, that's a tough one. We'll see what the recovery is like. He was also dealing with something else, too, because most practice days he was taking the option, getting treatment. So there was something else that was bothering him. But he has been one of those guys, when you look at the team, you go, well, you need your veteran depth players to rise to the occasion. He did that in the playoffs last year. He's doing it again this year. He's been good whenever he's been on a line. I mean, with Henrique or Janmark, those guys have also risen to the occasion. Like Connor Brown is like example A of like good veteran players providing you a steady play at both ends of the rink, like a good 200-foot game. And he's a big reason why the Oilers are 2 wins away from another Stanley Cup final appearance.
Penalty kill still feels like it's something that's got to sort itself out. That's probably been the biggest difference, I feel, from this year's playoff run to last spring's. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year the PK was the best in the playoffs. This year, far from it. I think 15th, looking at the stats from going into yesterday's game. And it was good again last night. It seems like it's cleaned things up a little bit, but man, they just get burnt. They're either a second behind or they're not sharp with their systems. Guys trying to blow zones and create offense on the PK, that's burnt them at times. They're getting torched by the Kings, but it got better a bit in that second round against Vegas. And then it's been much better so far through 3 games in this series. But yeah, like it's a far cry from how good it was last year, where I think it went on about like a 21 or 22 PK streak where they didn't allow anything. So good that it's starting to wake up. Let's see if that continues, and they're going to be without another key guy in Connor Brown tomorrow. So makes it a little bit tougher, but guys need to rise to the occasion. And fortunately, there's a bunch of guys with a lot of NHL experience on the PK as well that can fill his shoes in the meantime.
Is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins appreciated enough in that market? I know we're talking about a guy that has his own aura because of being a high draft pick, Tom. But I mean, there's just such a quiet contribution that comes with Nuge all the time. And I get it when Connor's there and Leon's there and even Evan Bouchard, as we've talked about. And there are certainly bigger personalities on the team than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but it just feels like you can't say enough good things about what he adds because he does a little bit of everything for the Oilers.
Yeah, and there are people here that don't love him, that don't like the fact that he's admired so much. He just quietly goes about his business. He is a good two-way player, and he has quietly put together a really solid career. He'll be the franchise leader in games played at some point when he passes Kevin Lowe. Like, he's just an Oiler through and through, and I think the majority of fans here do recognize and appreciate what Nugent Hopkins does. I think they understand he's not a 100-point guy and that one season was the anomaly in his career. He's a 50, 60, sometimes 70-point guy. And then, you know, they're going to get an honest effort from him. So, yeah, he is appreciated. He is really liked. He does things the right way. Yesterday, he had a great game. He battled. He got popped. He went into the boards really hard, got winded, but he was okay. He contributed, had a multi-point night, and he just quietly goes and does things. And the other thing, too, Logan, that's important about him is, like, the guys love him. He is maybe not the biggest personality, like we said, but he has the appreciation of the big dogs. He's one of them. He's in the clique. And then on the ice, he's used in pretty much every scenario. So he's a key cog. Some people don't want to give him his flowers. Most do, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like Pat and Tom Gazzola.
Part of the clique.
Well, he's the personality. I'm the jokester on the side. Yeah.
Tom is the looks. Let's be honest.
Oh, stop.
That's how we're getting into clubs is with Tommy at the forefront.
I'm coming to Calgary, boys. Bring your dancing shoes.
Oh. Should we gallivant once again?
Should we tell Mike that you're coming?
We should tell Mike. We should get on to some side quests and frolic and all those funny terms that the Gen Z kids all say. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm up for it. Let's do it.
I'd be down. Tommy Gazzola with us, Edmonton Sports Talk. Last one for you, Tommy. What do you say? You still think there's a lot of fight left in the Stars. What do you expect from Dallas in game four?
Yeah, Patty, I think they're going to look at what they did in the second period yesterday and try to replicate it. They were dogged on the puck. They were pushing the Oilers. They were physical. They were winning races, and they really pushed the pace. And Edmonton did a good job of bending and not breaking, and then they got a lot of nice saves from Stu Skinner. I think that's what Pete DeBoer, like, he was pretty calm post-game last night, but I think that's what he and his staff are going to try to emphasize. Build off of what you did in that second period. You know that Stu Skinner is not invincible. You know that you can find cracks in this Oilers defense, and I think that's how they're going to try to take advantage. They've got a lot of experience. These guys have been here to the conference final a lot, and they have skilled players. The only thing that when you look at the Stars, you go, I don't know, this isn't looking good, is they've got guys who are dinged up, and we'll see if Rupe Hintz is good to go tomorrow. But that's the only thing, is like they're getting nicked up. So are the Oilers a little bit, but Edmonton, for whatever reason, seems to have a solution to any kind of wrinkle the Stars try to throw at them. But I think he'll focus on that second period, and that's how they'll try to capitalize tomorrow night.
Good stuff, Tommy. Enjoy game four, pal. Thanks for doing this today, and we will chat soon.
I love it. Thank you for having me, boys.
Thanks, brother. Tom Gazzola from Edmonton Sports Talk joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, Cam Hughes, Shan Virgie, Riley Clark, our outstanding producers, Logan Gordon on Twitter at Fan960Logan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.